Well, as the elder said, I am the Apostle Peter, and I want to tell you this morning about a fishing trip that changed my life. A fishing trip that changed my life. I was out one day, as the elder said, I was out one day with my brother Andrew, and we're fishing, and Jesus of Nazareth comes up and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Praise God. We obeyed. We obeyed. We wanted to follow him. So we just left our nets and followed him. He also invited our partners, James and John, and they left their dad in the boat. And we all followed Jesus. And our adventure with the Son of God began. And I'm here to tell you about my experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were in Capernaum one day, and Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And this demon-possessed man comes in. Just then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out. I couldn't believe it. After that, Jesus healed my mother-in-law at the house. And that evening, the whole city comes crowding around. Jesus is healing people and casting out demons. I had never seen anything like it in my entire life. The next day, we couldn't even find Jesus. When we finally found him, he says, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for this is what I came for." So we kept traveling through Galilee. One day, a leper came up to Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And I'm here to tell you that immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. One day we were at the house and these guys, I kid you not, I was there, I saw it, were at the house and these guys begin to take the roof apart. And they lowered this man into the house. And Jesus, seeing their faith, looks at the paralytic and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. And he was healed. We traveled on from there, and we were passing the tax collector's booth. And we're all looking at him with disdain. And the Lord says, "Follow me." And the tax collector, Levi, got up and followed him. So we go to Levi's house. I was in Levi's house. And we're eating a meal, and there's a lot of people in the house. And the Pharisees are there, and they say this, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not those who are healthy but need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." As we traveled on with Jesus, I saw so many amazing things. He healed a man in the synagogue. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God!" One day we went up to a mountain. And Jesus appointed 12 of us to be apostles. He called me one of his apostles. We went home, and his family is standing outside, and they wanted to talk to him. And he looked right at us, the apostles. He looked right at me. And he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." He called me his brother. We were on the sea one time, and this fierce wind comes up, and the waves are breaking over the boat. We're filled with water, and Jesus is asleep. We're screaming, "Hey, don't you care? We're going to die." And he just gets up. And he says to the wind, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he looked at us, and he says, "Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?" The wind obeyed him. The sea obeyed him. And so should you. One day, a synagogue official was begging Jesus to come heal his daughter, but she died before we got there. But Jesus says to the guy, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." We go to the house, and Jesus raises her from the dead. Then he sent us out. He sent us out in pairs, and he gave us authority to cast out demons. We went out and began preaching and casting out demons and healing people. We were so busy and tired, and the Lord says to us, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." There are many people coming and going. We didn't even have time to eat. So we go away to this secluded place. But the crowd finds us. And they're staying there, and Jesus is teaching, and they're all hungry. And Jesus says, "Give them something to eat." And we said, "Lord, we've only got 5 loaves of bread and a couple of small fish." And we fed them all. I'm completely serious. I was there. We fed every single person, 5,000 men. He tells us to get in a boat, and he tells us to row over to Bethsaida. So we're rowing. It's the middle of the night, and the wind is giving us a terrible time. We look out, and all of a sudden, there's this ghost coming toward us. It was Jesus. And he gets in the boat, and everything was calm. Later on land, we meet up with the Pharisees, and they're giving us all kinds of grief for not washing our hands. And we knew that the law told us to do that, and we obviously weren't doing it the way we were supposed to. And we're wondering what Jesus is going to say. And he says to them, or he said to us, "Are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. That which proceeds out of the man, that what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within, and that's what defiles the man." This Gentile woman comes up and wants Jesus to heal her daughter. And we're thinking, oh, Jesus is not going to heal a Gentile woman's daughter. He looks right at her and he says, "It isn't good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And we're going to pass on, but she looks right at him and says, "Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs." And Jesus healed her daughter. A Gentile woman, because of her faith, Jesus healed the blind, the lame, the deaf. One day, he asked us, "Who do people say I am?" I spoke up right away. And I said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He started talking about how he was going to suffer and die. And I spoke up and I said, "I don't think so. That's not going to happen." And Jesus said this to me, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." A week later, he takes me and James and John up to a mountain, and all of a sudden, his clothes, his face, we saw who he really was. That he really was the Son of God, that he really is the Son of God. And God the Father spoke at that moment out of a cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Later on, there was this boy that was demon-possessed. He was really a mess, and we tried to cast out the demon, but we couldn't do it. Jesus was really disappointed at our unbelief. So the parents talked to Jesus. And the boy's dad said, "It's often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus says, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." And the boy's father cried out. He said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus healed the boy. One time we got into an argument about which one of us was the greatest. And Jesus said, "If anyone wants to be first, he should be last of all and servant of all. Taking a child, he set him before us. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever wishes, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me.'" One time some people brought some kids to Jesus, and I hadn't quite learned the lesson yet. I stepped in and I said, "Get these kids out of here." But Jesus said, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And Jesus took the children in his arms and began blessing them. You got to hear this. This rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. And he says, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We're all kind of glued to Jesus right now. What's he going to say to him? And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." The guy said, "Teacher, I've done all that from the time I was a youth up." And Jesus really loved this man. So he said, "One thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." And we're waiting for the guy to join us. But he walked away and he was sad, because he owned much property. Jesus looked around and said to us, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." We were pretty amazed at that. He said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." We said, "Who can be saved?" Jesus said, "With people, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I looked at him, and I said, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. And Jesus said this to me, truly I say to you, there was no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's that he will not receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and farms, along with persecutions. And the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last are first. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is absolutely true. One day, James and John come up to Jesus. And they said, we want to be the most important people in your kingdom. Well, that made the rest of us really mad. How dare they say that? So we're arguing with James and John. And Jesus says this, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it's not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, we go to Jericho, and this blind man is yelling behind us, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops and calls him over and says, your faith has made you well. And boom, the guy can see. Well, we come to our last week with Jesus. We're headed for Jerusalem. We put Jesus on a colt. We go into Jerusalem, and it's an amazing scene. People are putting palm leaves down. They're putting their clothes on the road, and everyone is crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. It was amazing. We go to the temple. And we're thinking, okay, this is going to be cool. He's going to stand up there and preach and whatever. It's going to be great. All the crowds are with us. And he starts knocking everybody's tables over. Turning over the money changers. There's doves flying everywhere. He's kicking everybody out. And he says, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you guys have made it a robber's den. Earlier, Jesus had cursed a fig tree. You ever seen anyone curse a tree? He cursed this fig tree. And the tree just died. And we were amazed at that, and Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you receive them, and they will be granted to you. The Pharisees and the religious leaders got into a lot of debates with Jesus. We learned a lot about the kind of religion that God wants versus the dead religion that we'd been taught for so many years. This guy comes up and says, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandment greater than these. And he said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance sake offer long prayers. these will receive greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how people were putting money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums, and a poor widow came, put in 2 small copper coins. It's just a cent. And he called us over and he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." We celebrated Passover with the Lord before he was crucified. We're up in this large room and we're celebrating Passover together. And Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." What? Surely it's not me, I thought. There's no way. One of these guys is going to betray the Lord? And Jesus says, "It is one of the 12, one who dipped with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." The Lord takes the bread and he says, "Take it. This is my body." And we get to the point in the Passover where we have the third cup, which we're about to drink, the cup of redemption. And he passes out the cup of redemption. And the Lord lifts it up. And he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." The cup of redemption. So we're all thinking about that, and we finish up, and we go out to the Mount of Olives, and the Lord says, "You will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." There is no way. I looked right at the Lord and I said, "I'm not going to fall away. I will not deny you. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." But the Lord said to me, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me 3 times." So we get to the garden and the Lord is really upset. I mean, he is really upset. Really upset. And he takes me and James and John and he says, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." He goes off a little way and he starts praying, and I mean, he is really crying out to God. And we see some people coming. It's a mob. And as they get closer, Judas is with them. And I remembered what he said, that someone's going to betray me. The mob comes right up to us, and Judas is at the front. He walks right up to the Lord Jesus, and he says, "Hail, Rabbi," and he kisses him. And then this guy grabs the Lord. And I just snapped. I'm not having any of that. This guy just grabs the Lord and I pull out my sword and I just take a swing at him. The Lord stops the whole thing. And he says, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching and you did not seize me, but this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures." And I was petrified. And I just ran away. But I really wanted to see what was going to happen. So I followed along keeping a safe distance. And this whole mob takes the Lord to the high priest. And all the chief priests and elders were there. They take him in. I just sat outside in the courtyard by the fire. And inside, they are really giving Jesus a hard time. But he kept silent. And he didn't answer. The high priest was questioning him and saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." I got a chill up my spine. And the high priest just loses it. "Blasphemy, blasphemy." And they all condemn him to death. And they start beating on him and spitting on him. Well, just as I'm watching this whole scene, this girl comes up to me. And she says, "You were with Jesus." I denied it. I said, "No, I wasn't." I walked away from the fire and I went off a little further away. And the maid saw me. And she says out loud, "This guy was one of them." I denied it. "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And before I could get away further, some other people saw me. And a crowd starting to gather around me. And one person says, "This man is a Galilean. He is one of them." And I thought, they're going to kill me right now. Everybody is recognizing me. I've got to get out of here. And I called down a divine curse. And I said, "I swear to you, I do not know the man." And a rooster crowed. And I knew I'd blown everything. And I just ran away. Well, early in the morning, they took Jesus to Pilate. And they're stirring up everybody. And everybody's yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they beat Jesus and they took him away to be crucified. The Romans put a purple robe on him and they're beating him and they're mocking him. They got a crown of thorns on his head. His head is bleeding. They take him to Golgotha and they crucify him. And everybody's shouting and everybody's mocking him. And we're all there watching. And I'm telling you, you had to be there. At noon, it got dark. And I want you to understand that it's not like the situation you have here in the United States where there's street lights and lights from cars and all this stuff. I'm telling you, it was noon. And it was totally dark. And at about 3:00, Jesus on the cross cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it was shortly after that he died. So we all walked away, wondering what we're going to do. And Joseph from Arimathea goes to Pilate and he asks for the body. And amazingly, Pilate gave him permission and Joseph got the body and he placed it in a tomb. But on Sunday morning, everything changed. Mary and Salome went to the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty. And they go in the tomb, and there's an angel. And the angel says to them, "Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter." Go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as I told you. And these women come and they tell us the whole story. And we're all together in the room. And the Lord appears to us. And he looks at us and he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." The Lord was taken up to heaven. And me and you and everyone who has believed the testimony about Jesus throughout this entire world, from Asia to America to Antarctica, everyone awaits his return. Amen. I have a son in the faith, and his name is Mark. And I spent a lot of time with him after the Lord rose from the dead and went back up to heaven. He hung out with me and we ministered and we spent a lot of time together, and I told him all the stories about Jesus. He asked me a lot, and I told him all of my eyewitness accounts about the Lord Jesus. And what my son has done is he has carefully taken all of my stories and he's put them in a book. And it's called Mark. And I'm telling you, if you want to know what Jesus really taught, if you want to know who Jesus really is, if you really want to experience Jesus through my eyes, read my son's book. Can I pray with you? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for John Mark, who has preserved Peter's eyewitness account and put it down in a book, 16 chapters in our Bible. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would read that book and we would believe that book and we would know the real Jesus, and everything in us would surrender to that Jesus. Like he said 2,000 years ago, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be completely and totally surrendered to the real Jesus. And we pray that we would trust him with everything in our lives, especially our eternal destiny. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.